Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. We are grateful to have you with us. Yes, we are truly grateful and thankful, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah. He created this day, not we ourselves. So we should give him praise. We should give him adoration. Yes, because he is the Most High God. Yeah. And then just to realize and just to know that he is thinking about you and he's thinking about me. That's the God that we serve. Against you. You only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Psalms 51 and 4. And we know that this particular psalm is the psalm that David wrote. And David had a reason, a really, really serious reason to write this psalm. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come thanking you, Lord, for this day, thanking you for this moment, this opportunity that you gave us. You're giving it to us, God. We're walking in it. We're receiving it right now, and we want to say thank you. We want to just give you the praise that you so rightfully deserve. We thank you, God, for watching over us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for taking care of our children. We thank you, God, for just the traveling all during the day, all during the week. Nobody could do us like this but you. And we just want to give you praise. We just want to thank you. We just want to spend some time with you and learn more about you. Yes, yes. And we thank our listening audience, God, near and far. And we know, God, that whatever they're in need of, Master, we know that you will be there for them. Yes, just as you are today with us. And we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. And we bless his holy name. And everybody said amen. And we just thank God. We thank God for you and you and you. And we know that we have been talking about being jealous. You know, nobody wants to admit that they were jealous. But jealousy has crossed many paths. And it has come in many courses of life. It has come through a lot of generations. We've seen it. Some of us have experienced it. Some of us haven't. Some of us have been target because someone is jealous of us. So jealousy is here, is present, and it's really going to be here until Jesus comes back. Can you imagine it? Yeah. So our assignment is to learn how to deal with jealousy. Yeah, yeah. So too often we only hear folks condemn others. We always hear that. Always putting down everybody, never owning up to their own faults. It's okay if you never confess your shortcomings. It's okay. Because a lot of times we don't do that. We don't like to discuss something that we're not good at, or we're having issues with, or we're having problems, or we're struggling. We just don't like to do it. But as long as you can go to the person who really, really needs to hear it, that's all that matters. So sin, let me go back. It's okay if you never confess your shortcomings, your sins, or your transgressions to me. But make sure you repent and confess these sins to God. Whatever they are, make sure you confess it to him. Yeah, make sure you go into a secret closet, or make sure you get up early in the morning. Make sure you talk to him before you lay down in the evening. Yeah, he made all of us. So he knows we are human. He knows this. He knows we are human in nature. Yes, he knows this. Human in nature. First, before we try to be anyone else, he knows that we are who we are. And we are his creation. Whoever you are, he created you. God is our Heavenly Father who sends his darling son. He sent his darling son, Jesus, down to earth to save you and me. Now, that's love. So, he loves us. That's what that means. He loves us unconditionally. This is why it's keeping with our topic. In keeping with our topic, we want to remind folks that if you fall into this category of jealousy, if you should slide on down in there, yeah, there's only one way out. Only one way out. Jesus came to show us the way. We were to move out from under the law and move into the freedom through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he came to set us free. Jesus, he came to set the captive. We were captives. We were in bondage. We were enslaved. Yeah, because under the law, none of us could succeed under the law. None of us could do everything that was required under the law. Remember, there is a way out. When you begin to notice that you're having an attitude, are you starting to have an attitude towards someone, or the attitude that you have with that person has changed? Yeah, change. And then you begin to see something that don't look right, maybe a little tit for tat of ungodliness. Yes, remember, there is a way out. So turn quickly with me to Second Samuel. And we're going to go with chapter 12. We're just going to stay here in chapter 12 because this particular story here, it really hits home with everyone. Nobody is exempt. Everybody can see themselves in here. I don't have to ask you. I know you do. I know you will, because this is life. This is really life. And this life played out in a huge way with David. So here we see, and we all know the story of David, Bathsheba, and her husband Uriah. We know this story. So we see that David had become obsessed, okay, became obsessed with Bathsheba. And many who know the story, and I'm just going to paraphrase because I'm not going to go each verse, but many would say that when David's men were out doing the things that the army usually do, David should have been with his men. But for whatever reason, you know how Satan likes to set us up, he stayed back. And when he stayed back, when he went out of his house to the rooftop, and he was able to look over and see this beautiful lady who was bathing. And it was a common thing in those days, because right now you would say to yourself, well, what are you bathing for outside? You need to be, you know, inside or into something, you know, but, you know, you're hidden, you know. But it was common in those days. It was a common thing. So here we see in here, David sees Bathsheba. And so he becomes completely blind. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally blind. Now, you've heard people say, I'm blind in love. They're blind in love. They can't see. You're trying to tell them stuff. They can't see. They can't even hear. They become completely deaf. Yeah. All of this took place. David was completely blind to sin until Nathan came to talk to him. Now, I'm just going to go back real quickly and say the reason why Nathan had to come to David was because David, the jealousy that he had, it had went just a little too far. In 2 Samuel, we see that we're in chapter 12, I'm sorry. We see that David was in love, completely in love with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. So he wanted her for himself totally. He didn't want just a one-night thing or overnight or even just a little affair. He wanted her completely. So that means husband had to be out of the way. So this is pure jealousy. Now, this is jealousy that has gone into another level of jealousy. This jealousy has taken him into a jealousy of, I'm blind and I am really out of control and I am very, 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 he could do anything at this point. So he's out of control. Mm-hmm. He's not thinking. He is not thinking. He don't see. He can't make the right judgments. And you see, we all have been in this place at one time or another. See, this is how jealousy can come in and it can entrap us. It comes in and it can do this. So here we see in verse 7, this is where I'm going to go. Verse 7 says that man, after Uriah had came to David and he explained to David about a man who had did wrong in the eyesight of God. And he had taken this man's wife. And then after he took the man's wife, he wanted her completely. Then he was a person who was prestige. So he was the king. So you know, when you're a king, your lordship, whatever you say goes, right? Yes. So he had that position. He had that authority. So all he had to do was tell someone, one of his captains, one of his servants, the captains in the army, to put Uriah on the front line. So, I mean, it would be easy to kill him, and nobody would have to know that. Well, this is exactly what took place. So this is jealousy on another scale, huh? And today, you would go to prison for this, really. You would go to prison. You would literally go to prison. So in verse 7, it says here, after Uriah had came to David and he explained to David what he had seen and what God was saying to him, David listened very in tune. You know, it's something how when we are in sin, someone can come and talk to us about the sin, but we keep the sin distant. We're not going to bring the sin close to us. We're going to keep it over here, and it's those people, someone else. So after he had heard all of that, and his comment was that the person, whoever that was, they were terrible, that had done that. So he had distanced himself completely. So Nathan, being the man he was, because he was sent to David by God, told David, since David was in this state of mind where this wasn't me, Nathan had to say, the man that I'm talking about is you, O king. It's you. Quite naturally, you know, David was quiet. So it says here, we can see in verse 7, God spoke through Nathan, and his words were very stern and to the point. But mainly his words were in great detail of the day-by-day account that David had planned and plotted and eventually, through his jealousy, murdered Bathsheba's husband. And you see, when you into this level of jealousy, you're just completely out of control. So can we see ourselves? Can we see ourselves in this situation? Maybe we have never gone to this extreme, but we have been jealous. Yeah, well, you could talk to me and I still didn't understand what you were saying because that's not what I wanted to hear and my heart wasn't there. My heart was over here. You've seen yourself there. We all have been here. So look closely at this lesson. So it says, call it complete obsession or look closely, and you're going to see it's out of control jealousy. Yes, the action that David was involved in could easily be a strong storm. It was a storm. It was more of a tornado or even an earthquake of jealousy. Yes. Obsession, which very well led to murder. Yeah, we don't have to go so far. We don't have to go so far to understand this. We don't. Because many of us have been in this situation. Many of us have seen this. I know I personally have seen this. I personally have even experienced this form of jealousy. And only God had to come, like he's going to do with David, like he's doing right here, and pull the blinders off. Yes. And when God pulled the blinders off, oh, glory to God, you're going to repent. You're going to repent. And guess what? Then you're going to really see. You're going to really see what you have done. Look at this. So notice that in verse 7 it says, the sermon from God that David was required to listen to, and he was required to listen because Nathan had come to tell him what God had to say. And so the first thing God reminded him was how he anointed him. And you know, as a parent, now this is to me, this lesson is like twofold. And when I say twofold, they have two messages in this story: how to be a parent, how to parent, and how to stay away from jealousy. That's what I got. That's what I received. That's what I received from here. So here we see God reminded him on how he had anointed him to be king. And you know, if you're a parent and your child had done something real bad, you know that's the first thing you do. You're going to remind them of what you did for them and what you thought that they were capable of doing. You're going to just come up. It's going to come to the forefront. You're going to explain it to them. Two, he said, and then he said to him, he said, look at how he delivered him. God was saying, look at how he delivered David from Saul. And we know that the story of Saul, how Saul was running behind David, who was trying to kill him. And David had to call on God. He called on God many times for help. Then he said in verse 3, he said how he gave him his master's wives and how he gave them their houses. Now, God did all of this for David. He did all this. David had a lot of wives, and really, I know they say Bathsheba was beautiful, but hey, you have some, and you have many. You don't just have one. Look at this. He said he gave him the house of Israel and Judah. 5. Then he even told him he would have given him more. Now listen to God. God is telling David, I would have gave you more if you need it. So he's letting him know, I was always there for you, David. I was always there. Whenever you needed me, I came through. Yes. And this is what God, he sometimes have to tell us. Yeah. He has to remind us. He has to come to us and be clean. He got to send somebody to us too. So look at this. He goes back to what he had done and was acceptable, how he was acceptable in his eyes, how God had placed David in this particular category, this particular level, and he expected so much from him. But here we see he had let him down. So what happens next as a parent who loves your child? As a parent, we know that the next thing is the chastisement. It's only natural that as a parent we are going to chastise, we are going to correct. Why? Because in order for correction to take place, change usually happens when correction comes. But if we don't correct, we just think that that was it. That was how it's supposed to be. But here we see the correction. So Nathan, he rose up. He rose up to David in his house, and he willed, allowed his wives to be, he even said that he would allow his wives to be taken away. This was one of the things that was going to happen to David. And it was happening to him because of what he had done. This sin was just not an ordinary situation, not the way God saw it. Again, jealousy had gone into another level. So he's saying here that that the wives that he had, they were all going to be taken away, and they were going to be taken away by David's neighbors. Can you imagine that? By their neighbors. And then he said, and the wives are going to be in the sun, sitting out in the sun with your neighbors. So now remember, David is the king. So David, these are his wives. So nobody should be sharing or having anything to do with David's wives because he's the king. But God is letting him know that that's going to be reversed. Why? Because of David's sin. Look at that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's punishment time. It's punishment. Correction. Correction has to take place. You did something that was displeasing to God. Well, now you have to pay the consequences. And it's no more than right. Today we see a lot of our kids, our young folks, they don't pay no consequences. They don't pay a consequence to anything. They know they did it. And nobody come back and tell them that was wrong, a correction. Nobody takes the phones away. I remember when I was young, the correction I had, my mother, we loved to be on the phone, on the telephone, on the landline. Let me get clear, because we didn't have a cell phone. On the landline phone. And correction from me, my mother would say, you can't use the phone. You couldn't use the phone. Maybe a whole week you couldn't use the phone. And what was so embarrassing for me was when my friends would call to want to talk to me, my sisters who loved that I was punished and couldn't use the phone, they would tell my friends, oh, she can't come to the phone and talk because she's punished. And I would be so embarrassed when I got to school, because everybody knew Janice can't talk. She's punished. She's in timeout. But whatever it was, I was punished. So that was my mother's way of putting down correction, correcting me. And I remember that today. I can remember the corrections that I had growing up. And I corrected my child. Yes. So correction is good. I mean, some parents try to shy away from it, but it's good. The Bible tells us don't use the rod. It tells us how it's so important for us to use the rod. And my growing up, my mother didn't use the rod. At one time she used to do it, and then she realized that it was better to punish us. Because, see, the punishment, she can go for a whole week. Where the rod, she can go just a couple of minutes and you're over it. Well, I used to want to let me get the rod. And she would say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing the rod. You're going to be punished for a week. And I would hate that. I would hate that because I wanted it to be over. So correction is important. This is all I'm trying to say to you. Correction is important, very important. So here we see that God told, that Nathan explained to David that he had done this deed, this sin that he had committed. It was done secretly. See, nobody knew that David was seeing Bathsheba, and nobody knew that he had Uriah killed. No one knew that.
to God. You know, God sees everything, and he knows it all. Yes.
So God is telling him that since you sinned secretly, that he was going to punish him. The punishment, the correction that David was going to experience, it was going to be done openly. And it was going to be done openly where all, he said, of all of Israel will see this. So remember, you don't have to take someone else's blessing. You don't have to take somebody else's blessing. Because God has a blessing where? With your name on it. You have one with your own name. Uh-huh. Really and truly, you have some with your own name on it. But in order to get those blessings, there are certain things that we got to do. Yeah. Yeah, we got to keep doing it. So one thing I just want to mention is notice how God showed David how disappointed he was. Yeah. So here we see that God had some humanness right here. You know, he loved David, and he expressed how upset and how sorrowful he was of what David had done. Yeah. And so, you know, many times when we're correcting our kids, I know my mom and me, when they used to really use the rod, they would sing a song on you as to they didn't really want to whip you. That's what they would say. I don't really want to whip you. And I would say, well, don't do it. But they would still say, I really don't want to do this. And I was, okay, well, you don't have to do it then. So here we see God is expressing that to David. He's letting him know that he is so disappointed. Mm-hmm. And so then he expresses how he gave him everything, and if he had needed some more, that he had more that was available. How many times do we do that as a parent? How many times do we go out our way for our children, and we're giving them everything they need, everything we think they may need, or what we even have some stored up for them, and then they still disappoint us? So here in this particular lesson, yes, jealousy is our topic, but as a parent, don't feel bad. Don't feel alone. Because here we see that Jesus experienced the same thing. Yeah. God experienced that when he sent Nathan to talk to David. Yes. Because he was hurt. He had pain. Even though David acting like he didn't know what was going on. And we know that sin has a way of making us feel that they're not talking to me. You know that, you know, you hear people sit in church all the time as if somebody's going forward with the word and they don't think that that's for them. So here we see this takes place. So our job, our position is to repent, go to God and ask for forgiveness. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, for our listeners. We thank you, Master, that you are giving us words. We can come and ask for repentance in Jesus' name. We look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday and on Sunday evenings and Saturday as well. You be blessed knowing that God loves you. Yeah, he loves you. That's why we have the word, because he wants us to repent and keep moving. Huh? Repent and keep going in Jesus' name. Yes, he is our Savior. Amen.